Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 31st on the West Coast, now April 1st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially those in the U.S. military, and those listening in on blogtalkradio.com. Well, exactly 1 year ago today, I had to, and I'm going by East Coast time now, being April 1st on the East Coast, and east of there around the world. A year ago, my father passed away, so I'd like to dedicate tonight's show to him. Certainly where he is right now, he's seeing that any doubts he had about the veracity of my work, my research, and those of my guests is very accurate. He's seeing the truth. He's seeing what's going on here on this planet, for sure, what has been going on, and he's probably wringing his hands in disgust with all the ruses that have been played upon humanity. And so it's with the greatest of intent and love and remembrance of my father, as well as the many friends that have passed on due to this evil cabal that's been running the world for thousands of years, we're going to dedicate tonight's show to them, especially to my father. I'm going to start out before we bring on tonight's guest, and I want to share something that was published recently on the web. It's a statement by an 18-year veteran of the CIA, Robert D. Steele, and he talks about the New World Order takeover, this plan to rule the world under this autocratic, corrupt fist, which services the military-industrial complex and the excesses of those that would consider themselves to be elite. These are in his own words, these statements. Here we go.
I am the son of an oil man. I lived overseas all of my life. I was very fortunate in both having several graduate degrees and being a Marine Corps infantry officer, Marine Corps intelligence officer, and then a clandestine intelligence case officer. I've programmed imagery satellites. I've helped steal signals code books. I've done counterintelligence. I'm basically intimately familiar with the way in which the U.S. government does or does not do the craft of intelligence.
What you need to know is I'm a spy saying spying doesn't work. It's costing you $1.2 billion a week to produce the president's daily brief for a guy that can't read. People don't realize this. Apart from the fact that NSA is 1950s mindsets with 1970s technologies, SAIC completely screwed up Trailblazer, Echelon is baloney, 80% of your signals intelligence comes from analysis of patterns. So you don't need to violate privacy. All you need to know is that Schmuckhead is calling Afghanistan once a week. General Shinseki knew exactly what was needed to make Iraq go right, and Paul Wolfowitz lied to Congress and said they'll receive us like liberators and stuff. If I had been General Shinseki, I would have grabbed Wolfowitz by the neck and thrown him down the steps of Capitol Hill. You don't let people lie like that. It's unprofessional to confuse loyalty with integrity, and we have had a failure of generalship in America. Our generals have been too eager to keep their stars and not eager enough to think for themselves and uphold the Constitution. Smedley Butler, the highest decorated Marine, said, war is a racket. War is a racket. War is a racket, and the only reason it's happening is because the American public is lethargic. Blog that. You are the Paul Revere's and Patrick Henry's of our generation. Bottom-up horizontal connection is key. Sharing at all levels, not top-down control. Public intelligence and influence is about to take off. We are about to bury rule by secrecy. Civil affairs is the focal point. The intelligence guys need to go back in their box. Bloggers, not informants, are key. The FBI is about to try and hire 2,000 informants in a Soviet police-style approach to security. That's idiocy. If you bloggers self-organize and attach yourself like leeches to specific issues, corporations, organizations, challenges, whatever, you will be the intelligence minutemen of this century. The power is in your hands. There aren't enough guns to kill us all, and Halliburton can't build the jails fast enough to keep us down. Bloggers, as Hynix is organized, where you grab onto an issue or something, and you are part of a structured citizen journalism blogging thing that lets no evil doing go unnoticed, that rules. So I think we're at a turning point. I think we're at the very beginning of a historic tidal shift in power restoring the Constitution. I don't know how many of you are following this, but the Comptroller General has told Congress the United States of America is insolvent. We're out of schlitz. We literally have no money to make it to the next decade. Now, there are some very easy solutions. I could eliminate all income taxes tomorrow and have more than enough money to fund the government by using some other guy's bright idea. We tax the Federal Reserve at 0.006, doubles our money until we decide to put them out of business permanently, because we certainly should not have central banks. We've put together an electoral reform pledge, and it's my view that any member of Congress, any member of the Senate that refuses to sign both the constitutional pledge supporting the Constitution and the electoral reform pledge should be put out of business. And I believe that will be 95% of all of these people. It may be time to literally dump Congress on its ass and start over. The government has gotten stupid to the point that it can't write a statement of work. And so they ask the contractors to write a statement of work, and the contractors write a statement of work saying, you need more of what I haven't been able to sell. And the government says, oh, yeah, right, good. Put it in the budget. This is real shit. I can crack all 10 of the top-level threats to humanity in less than 25 years for less than one-third of what the world is spending on the military. Blog that. And I will tell you the price of buying back the United States government. It's $500 million a year. In the early 90s, Newt Gingrich and the Republicans got together. Their plan is now on the street. It's been exposed by a Columbia professor. They concluded that they could buy the United States government from school board to state house to White House for $300 million a year, and by golly, they did. And every single member of Congress is impeachable for having abdicated their Article I responsibilities under the Constitution and serving as foot soldiers for the president and his mendacious vice president. If you confiscate all the wealth in the world, which I do not advocate, all you have is a $5 bill for every one of the 5 billion poor on the planet. For what we have spent on the Iraq War, I could have given a free cell phone to every one of the 5 billion poor on the planet. I could have taken the 10% residual capabilities on DOD satellites, abandoned communication satellites, and I could have provided free T1 to the Southern Hemisphere. Blog that. That's the kind of stuff we have to do. Because if we don't do that, those 5 billion people, instead of producing wealth that stabilizes the earth, are going to produce plagues, epidemics, criminal gangs, drugged up people. Ralph Peter's a friend of mine, and the bottom line here is the only path to wine, women, and wealth for badasses anywhere on the planet that have no money is guns. And what's happening here is we're at the very beginning. We're just starting to come out of our little eggshell. When the industrial era began, it broke the connection between kinship and trust, and it started treating people as commodities. And then we lost sight of our government, and we allowed the corporations to buy the government. The United States of America no longer represents we the people, but you can change that. The reason it's not working today is because we have a military-industrial complex that profits from secrecy and war, and it does not profit from efficiency and peace. Blog that. The bottom line here is that central banking is an evil cancer. These people are selling us credit they don't have so they can take profits they don't deserve out of our pockets. That's nuts. The United States government is constitutionally chartered to print money on the good faith and credit of all of us and not pay interest. Why are we being such fools? Well, unfortunately, if you fight them, you get assassinated. Lincoln and Kennedy were both about to print money and not borrow from the banks. I can't connect those two dots, but I can tell you they're side by side. But the reality is the federal government is broken in every possible way, and it's going to be localized bottom-up resilience networks they're going to save us. That's where you guys come in. Our educational system stinks. It beats the creativity out of kids by the time they're in the fourth grade. It forces you to become a blogger or hacker in order to become creative. So you guys are the lifeboat. We've gone from America the beautiful to America the shit. Now, I believe we need to start blogging retrospective impeachments. I'm not saying we need to hang them or tar them or feather them, just out them. I think it's time for citizen investigative journalism to go deep and go back and go current. And people need to understand they can't get away with this stuff. There is absolutely no lack of solution, and there is also no lack of money. What is lacking is the popular political will to exercise our God-given right to be in charge. I got thrown off Fox News for saying the global war on terror wasn't real. Well, it's not. Okay? I mean, until we can get to one man, one bullet for the top 6,000, we can contain the next level, and we can provide a quality of life for everybody on the planet at the lowest level, we're not going to get it. The Air Force solution for terrorism is to kill one guy in an entire village, which, of course, creates 100 to 200 additional terrorists because of that indiscriminate war crime. It's just nuts. And it's nuts because the media isn't doing their job, and so it falls to you. And my dream is to have someone adopt every zip code and start doing that weekly report for their zip code. And then those little reports will start having babies, and it'll start spreading. Your government is stupid, and they're stupid deliberately. The intelligence community does not do open source information because they like to think that the cabinet departments are doing their open source information. That's not true. The cabinet departments don't know how to do decision support. What they know how to do is take stakeholder interests and turn them into policy that increases budget share. That is not what I call reality-based budgeting. Politics today has gotten so dirty it's not worth anybody's time if they've got a brain. Well, I don't have a brain. I have a soul. And I believe that America needs to get back in the business of managing itself. I am absolutely certain that central banks are an evil. Central banks are screwing us all. Orwell had it right. We are pigs being harvested for profits. I do believe there are secret societies, although, you know, given a choice between conspiracy and incompetence, I generally go with incompetence. The Bilderberg Group, I just saw a list of who attended the last time. And it's almost a list of nobodies who want to be somebodies combined with somebodies on their way down. You know, I'm not that impressed. These people think they're the movers and the shakers. They're only the movers and the shakers as long as you let them be the movers and the shakers. I spent 18 years trying to help secret government agencies get in touch with unclassified information. And Tom Attlee sent me an email, and he had this little signature blog where Buckminster Fuller said, don't try and heal a broken system. Create a new system that replaces it. So I'm honored to be here to set the tone for you guys. And my bottom line is don't waste your time on the federal government. It's going away. There are 27 secessionist movements. There are 9 distinct nations in North America. I anticipate some virtual separation in the republic. And I think that you're going to find that, like Vermont, for example, is all of a sudden going to be seen by the rest of America as exactly where we want to be, or Seattle. And so that's called the spike theory of change. As soon as one state gets it perfect, it's going to spread like wildfire.
And that is former CIA agent Robert D. Steele describing government, the central banks, the military-industrial complex, and this ruse being played on the world. And I agree with his statements, and I applaud his patriotism, his common sense, and his courage for bringing this message out, especially with the way things are going amongst those that are revealing the truth. We're going to reveal some more truth tonight. Now, this I have to thank two people, actually, for bringing my attention to this particular video, and you got to hear the audio. Drew Raines actually posted this in his News and Views a couple of days ago, and then I found it on tonight's guest's website at educate-yourself.org. Our guest has one of the most popular research sites in the whole world, and I don't say that lightly. The numbers show that. He gets hits from countries around the world, in the hundreds. And his ranking is way up high, and considering that people aren't going to his site to pay bills or download porn, he's doing remarkably well. And in addition to that, he gets a lot of feedback from people around the world, not just from the website, but actually from the shows he does here on Evident Footprints. And I invite back with great pleasure and honor my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hello, Don. Thank you very much for having me back.
My pleasure. What do you think of Mr. Steele's statement in light of the research that you and I and some others have been doing along the lines of what he's been talking about?
Well, I really like his presentation because in 10 minutes or so, he really very succinctly hits all the major bullet points of what's going on with this country. It's a very, very well done presentation. This is a huge story. The New World Order takeover is a tremendously complex story, and it's not easy to try to distill it down to 10 minutes or so. And he did an excellent job. I was very impressed when I first heard it. And that's what, you know, people don't have time for a long lecture, a long 2 or 3 hour, 4 hour lecture. If you can get it down in such a short space of time, you're going to reach a lot more people than if you're, you know, longer winded than that. So I take my hat off them. It's a very adroit and succinct and accurate roundup of what's going on and why we are at the juncture we are at.
Yes. Now, for some time, I've been reporting on along the lines of the Wantagate saga and Chris Story's reporting of the financial corruption. I've been keeping pace with what's going on here, some insider information as well. And Chris reports late last night, probably during this show, in fact, last night with Michael Anthony, that TheExaminer.com has finally broken the story of the $3.87 trillion lawsuit filed by a group as a class action suit against the SEC. This is the CMKM/CMKX lawsuit, which attacks directly the Ponzi scheme that they ran with the diamond stocks that were being held. There are some shareholders that owned several hundred million shares of the stock. So you can imagine the amount of money that was hypothecated. And the shares that were being sold on the side were basically deemed to be phantom shares. So on top of all of what has been coming out recently, and you know, the facade of the healthcare bill and all that is really masking on the surface what's going on behind the scenes, and that's a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight. You've been coming out with some really unusual stories, unusual yet there are more people who are remembering being mind controlled. They're having recollections of having various types of implants and being gang stalked and harassed and beamed with all kinds of technology, microwave technology and beyond. And you've posted another story, which is quite interesting because of the source. This is not just a regular person out there that's just trying to get along with the everyday issues of life. This is someone that has deeper roots and connections with the government that is undergoing similar types of harassment. Do you want to expound on that at all?
Yes. This morning I received an email from a man who was a former lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, and he sent me a long article which he wrote, which he details his experiences of being on the receiving end of radiation weaponry. People who are familiar with the games played by the military and intelligence agencies like the CIA and NSA, etc., with victims of electronic torture and harassment know very well how serious this subject is, because they are subjected to a great deal of pain as a result of this high-tech radiation. In the case of this man, he's convinced the organization which is directing this harassment and electronic torture against him is the French intelligence agency, which goes by the initials of DJSE, which in English stands for the Department of, let's see, I have it here somewhere, the director, security, exterior security. In French, it's something like Direction Générale de la Sécurité Extérieure. Okay, so this is probably the equivalent of the sort of outside intelligence work, let's say non-domestic intelligence work that, for instance, the CIA mm-hmm. does in this country.
We don't, like MI6 or Mossad or...
Yeah, I'm thinking it's probably analogous to that type of group. And we normally don't hear of this group very often. We hear a lot of heavy charges being leveled against British intelligence and Mossad and the CIA, of course, but we don't hear much in this regard with French intelligence. But he explains in a 17-page article very carefully and very accurately what I mean to say. His presentation is very linear, very analytical. He numbers all his sub-paragraphs so you can refer to various parts of the essay and by number. Anyway, he's been on the receiving end of this microwave energy, infrasound, electromagnetic waves, electromagnetic pulses, and other types of electromagnetic radiations, which most people don't experience because they have these groups, particularly these intelligence agencies, and other private groups, mercenary types who are working for elite factions, also have access to this weaponry. And they're beaming people, ordinary people, who really are in many cases, have no idea why they're on the receiving end of this torment. There's a lady who I talked about last week, has been the recipient of this electromagnetic radiation, and they're very much, turned up the heat with her, and in so much that she was suffering so much from this microwave beaming that she could no longer sleep at night. She literally could feel her organs frying. She told me she could smell the odor of burning flesh, and naturally it produces headaches. You can't sleep. I mean, it's very uncomfortable. Imagine yourself trying to just live in your own home, in your living room, when you go to bed at night, and all these technologies are being directed at you. It's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many people in this country who are being subjected to this energy. And the fellow that I heard from this morning, he just used the initials of JRA. He's a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, forced to retire, because as he tried to...
Now, this is U.S. Army.
Yes, U.S. Army,
yeah,
absolutely.
You want to specify that.
That's a very important part of the story. And more than that, judging from the explanation in the article, is that he clearly worked as an intelligence officer himself for the Pentagon and he was liaison to the DIA and the CIA. So here's a man who was involved in this world professionally that got on the bad side of French intelligence. Now, there may be more to the story, but his perception is that this French intelligence group, DGSE, is the instigator of this campaign against him. It's been going on for 4 years. He said it started in April of 2006, and it continues to this day. In his attempt to determine who was doing it, he got sufficient, since he's inside this world, he got sufficient evidence that it was the French group. He said they attempted to recruit him to be an asset for them when he was assigned to an American embassy in North Africa. And as a result of his spurning their efforts to draw him in, they began to follow him all the time, surveil him, monitor him, and he became irritated with that treatment, and he let them know. He contacted them formally, as well as let agents know who were shadowing this, etc., that he did not appreciate their stalking of him, etc., and he said a lot of disparaging things to them to let them know that he was not happy with what they were doing. That might have played a role in their decision to turn up the heat and keep on going after this guy, because that's what happened. He was assigned to different locations, different parts of the world, especially around the Middle East, and this radiation torture, etc., began to follow him wherever he went. He returned to Canada and the United States, and they continued to follow him. And they began to stalk him so closely and carefully that he was being stalked, followed everywhere he went. And he's encountering the sort of harassment that victims of what we call gang stalking are familiar with.
Now, if I could just interrupt for a moment, and this is for the listeners. We've done a series of shows, you and I, over the past couple of weeks, where we've revealed these types of activities, or even more sinister than what this man has described, much more sinister in some areas, happening to somewhat regular people. And here's a man who's in the U.S. military, who was stationed at a U.S. embassy in North Africa, and this began upon his beginning the post there. And this was a temporary post, but he took notice of that almost immediately that this was occurring. And you don't come up with a name like Direction Générale de la Sécurité Extérieure and not have that mean something. So he obviously was able to identify his stalkers and his attackers too, because these are attacks, these are assaults as well.
Yes, absolutely. Now,
to make that point.
It is an important distinction, because up to now, the people who I've talked to who've been on the receiving end of this, in every case, are civilians. Every single case, they're civilians. In some cases, there are some people who were in the military, but typically for, let's say, a single enlistment term, four years being common term, occasionally they're involved in this. But it's the vast majority of them are civilians who were not in the military at all. Now, sometimes their family was connected to the military, but they themselves are not. In other cases, there is no connection to the military or even the government. They are selected. They are targeted for a reason, and often it has to do with the family they're born into. That plays partly into this. In other cases, there was a man who sent some really excellent essays, which I have on my website. on the mind control page. His name is Nicholas Kirkland, and he's been on the receiving end of electronic harassment and torture for a number of years. And in his case, he worked for the government. He was an embassy employee. He worked for the Foreign Service, etc., for many years. And he either came upon information, saw something, or was privy to information that, for some reason, and he's not sure why, they targeted him. And once they start this process of torture is the only correct word for it, of torturing you, they don't stop. They just keep it up. In the case of this guy, he, because he was having so much trouble, Nicholas Kirkland I'm talking about now, he had to leave the job. Now, he had already been in this work for 25 or 30 years, I can't remember, so he was approaching a retirement, you know, that phase of his life anyway, but he was forced to leave early because of this. And I think he presumed, as likely this man, this retired Army colonel presumed, that, well, once he got out of the service, the interest in him would not be there, and they would drop it. They don't do any such thing. They keep it going. Now, what makes it more important to understand that here's a guy, lieutenant colonel in the Army, in the business of intelligence work. So he's an insider. He has access to classified documents. Clearly has access to people who function in this world. Now, you would think, since he's an American Army officer, that the American intelligence service, the people he worked for, wouldn't be too happy that a foreign intelligence agency like this is doing this to one of their guys. And I think he expected that he could turn it off if he started to explain to his own people, hey, you know, I think, you know, the DGSE is doing a number on me, and this is what I've been experiencing. And I think he thought that he would get support. He got no such thing.
Yeah.
In fact, what they did do is they assigned him to see psychiatrists. They pulled his classification, his ability to view classified documents. In other words, they start boxing him out. Instead of, you know, supporting him, he's their own man. This is our government. Now, again, there might be a lot more to the story that I'm not aware of because he's not explaining here. So I don't know what intrigues this man might have encountered among his own agency. But I get the idea from what I read that he is convinced it's the French intelligence agency who originated this operation against him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's perplexed and angry that his fellow intelligence co-workers don't, you know, put a stop to this. Now, it became really remarkable in that the intensity of this harassment, surveilling, and radiations efforts become so strong and so intensive that he could no longer stay in a house or an apartment because they were radiating everything in the apartment. When he was out, they would come into the apartment and they were placing poison in different places of the apartment that he would touch, you know, wherever he would normally, you know, touch, use with his hands, or maybe, you know, whether it's clothing, bedding, you know, areas of the kitchen where one would normally open a drawer, cabinet, etc. They were putting poison everywhere. They were poisoning his food. And it gets, all this information, by the way, is in the article. It would get so bad that they would actually be able to, he was therefore trying to eat out, and he was changing the location of everywhere he was eating so that he didn't go to the same favorite place, so they wouldn't know where he was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the shadowing of him was so intense that they had special equipment with them, these agents who are involved in this operation. And as he's buying food, if the agent can get in range, they have concealed weaponry, they can radiate the food while he's ordering it, while he's paying for it. so that by the time he consumes it, it's radiated, and he gets sick, and he can recognize when the food's been tampered with because he immediately gets warm inside. You know, it immediately produces heat. So, and what he's doing when he was driving in his car, they were boxing him in with cars on the sides and front and back of him when they could, and they're beaming weapons of these radiation. This is high-tech radiation weapons.
Yeah,
now,
this is a common occurrence with these regular people that we've been talking about, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
Now, do you get the sense, Ken, that this is a joint operation between certain powers that be in our government and these foreign agencies testing out new technologies, maybe mobile or portable technologies, if you want to use that term, that they can infiltrate public areas and just basically zap anybody they want? And they're using these government employees because they can be tracked from the get-go. They can be supplied with all the information. How does a foreign intelligence agency know where to plant these poisons unless they've been provided some information? You know what I mean?
Yes, there is collusion. There can be no doubt about it. For instance, this man says that a way he is frequently poisoned is they're using helicopters. So that they have a helicopter, let's say he's driving in a car going down a road, a freeway, whatever, they'll have a helicopter come right over his car and right in front of him be spraying stuff. And he's breathing in the spray. And he said, for instance, and he was at the Obama pre-inauguration festivities, which took place on the eve of the inauguration, which had to be January 19th, 2009. And he says that he saw a helicopter. He recognizes when he's being poisoned because he reacts to the poisoning. He has implants in him that he feels when the food is radiated, when his clothes are radiated, or when he's poisoned with these special substances, that he reacts to it because he has implants in him that cause him to be reactive. Whereby someone else who doesn't have the implants, doesn't have the other substances in his that are in his body, if they don't have them, they won't react. So this is a very high-tech form of poisoning that we're not familiar with. I mean, normally we would think if you're, let's say, sprayed with some substance that other people would be exposed to, they would have the similar symptoms. But he's saying no. That he reacts to the symptoms because he's been, let's say, primed to react to these toxins, whereby someone who either doesn't have the implants, doesn't have whatever electronic gadgets he's carrying around in his body that somehow works in sympathy with these poisons, I don't know. But there's something unusual and strange going on in that he feels the effect of the toxins, but others around him who might be exposed to the same thing do not.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, to answer your question, yes, there's clearly collusion because he said that one of these helicopters that he recognized is part of this effort because he's seen so many of them, flew right over the White House because he was there. He was not in the White House, but he was in the area where the audience was for that pre-inaugural festivities that were taking place that either afternoon or evening. I don't remember for sure. But he said they must have the highest clearance if they can. The airspace naturally over the White House is highly restricted. So if they have the clearance to pass right over the White House on the eve of the inauguration to poison this guy, they're obviously working in collusion with those elements in the government, the intelligence agencies, the military, NSA, etc., and or, you know, the civilian groups that are working in league with, you know, these traitors in our government who are, let's say, mercenaries for the elites, Illuminati factions, etc. They're of course working hand in hand with the traitors in, you know, in our government, of course. And they're trying to homogenize this civilian private sector mercenaries, e.g. Blackwater, with our own military, for instance. They're trying to blur the line between those who are sworn allegiance to the Constitution and to the people of the United States and these mercenaries who can come from anywhere in the world and join a force like Blackwater.
Yeah, he describes in the beginning of his piece, he describes the participants, and what they look like, what their backgrounds are. But then he noticed that when he came back to the States, he says the demographics sort of took on the characteristics of those from Washington.
Right.
So that is significant. And we're hearing the same thing in these other cases as well. He points out also, and I'm just mentioning this for the listening audience, this isn't just radionics, if you want to call it that, electromagnetic bombardment. He's talking about the use of chemicals as well, and these very likely could be radioactive chemicals that would be receptive to these various waveforms.
Yes.
The low frequency waves that they're beaming at him could travel long distances, just as low frequency sound waves travel long distances. So it appears that they're testing or just bombarding him with every type of technology they have.
Yes, and this guy is clever. He's obviously more knowledgeable than, let's say, someone who doesn't have the career background that he has in this area. So he explains in his essay how he's tries to minimize the absorption of these radiation assaults, so that he no longer can use a car. He uses a bike as the let's say the safest way to be least affected by this radiation assault. He's apparently, you know, he can no longer live in an apartment or a house, and I guess he's even when he stays with friends and so forth, they're, you know, they turn the heat up on, so he can't stay in the same place. He's obviously on the move all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this isn't a lot of fun. And we, of course, have been talking to some people, such as the gal that I was talking about in last week's talk. She's been on the receiving end of this electromagnetic assault big time. And she was becoming so worn down beaten down by the intensity of these assaults that she was ready. She was talking about perhaps passing on about a week or so ago. She was very... she was resigned to the fact that she's not going to be able to escape this, and she's frankly felt that the end might be near. So she had contacted me to tell me that. In fact, she told me to not try to do anything else to save her, that she was sort of resigned herself to succumb to this, because she literally was smelling burning flesh, and naturally it the only conclusion she could come to that it was hers. Fortunately, something was done to interdict and to, truncate those who were behind this assault. It doesn't mean it's a permanent fix, but it certainly provided a great deal of much-needed relief. And I don't know if you want to expand on this at all, but...
Well, you know, something comes to mind if I can mention something, because one would ask why are the French doing this to a diplomatic officer from the army, former officer who's stationed at an embassy in a foreign country. Why are they targeting that individual specifically? And I read this piece that you posted. It's a huge piece in that he's getting right to the point. Very well written.
Yep.
And grammatically correct. The words are spelled correctly. This is quite unusual for somebody that works in the intel trade.
Yes.
What I recall is this plane that took off from Buenos Aires. If you remember last year, there was a plane that just exploded over the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes, I absolutely remember that.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that was sort of a warning. If just for our listeners, at the time I was reporting the financial corruption that was going on in France, that has a Hungarian-born president, Sarkozy, was in the bowels of this international Ponzi scheme and money laundering and hypothecation of public money that went into the stock market. Now, I already mentioned a $3.87 trillion lawsuit filed against the SEC for fraud. And at the same time, we had this going on in other areas of the same game. And it was alluded to that in regards to that plane crash, that there were a number, I think there were at least 34 intelligence agents who were killed in that explosion, as if to say, look what we can do, you know, if you don't cooperate with us. And part of this thing, why would they take out this French plane that was leaving from Brazil? Well, obviously Sarkozy was trying to get his fingers in the pie there, and Brazil was being pressured to commit $1 trillion into this fund that was going to kickstart the Ponzi schemes. So, you know, it's always follow the money. There's something going on here, and I suspect on the basis of the time frame, okay, he's saying this began in April of 2006, so he's been going through this for 4 years, but all of this financial corruption has been going on much longer, and it reached kind of a head at one point when they came out with the Basel II agreement and then Basel III, which basically means that all the finances have to be above board. When trying to cash in on offshore accounts, they have to prove source of funds. And they can't do that when they've stolen the money, when they've hypothecated the money. They can't show a genuine trail as to how the money got in that offshore bank account. So these accounts have been discovered, and they've been systematically frozen on an international basis. And so they were looking for countries that had assets to put them in there. And this was sort of blackmail against Brazil and France. Now, if this has been going on for some time and this has been ratcheted up and this man knows, if he's able to identify them as foreign agents from France, it may very well have something to do with that singular incident, or maybe many others too. Because we don't know the whole story of what's going on overseas. We're not being told anything by the mainstream media. And if it weren't for the internet, we wouldn't have found out the things that we did about this plane crash. That was another one of these remote control deals that we've heard about over the past couple of years. And we've done a series of shows on that. So I just wanted to submit that to you, and maybe you can find that out in your communications.
Well, I will be talking to this fellow, and I will, you know, of course, try to find out greater background on his particular story. I think, however, though, he's his suspicions are accurate. It sounds typical of those who have access to this technology and the character, I should say, lack of character of the people who have access to this technology. You undoubtedly have a lot of, let's say, petty warlords, if you want to just use that expression, to refer to factions within these power groups.
Mm-hmm.
These people function in a corrupt environment. They themselves are without integrity. They are, you know, they're not Boy Scouts. Anyone who could participate in the torturing of innocent people on any level, you know, psychologically or doing with the psychotronics or, you know, trying to fry a middle-aged woman with microwaves, you are a bad person. And the majority of these people who are in this work are, you know, sold out individuals. They're definitely working for the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
So within those, that milieu, you get these little factions, and they, you know, they'll stab each other in the back. They, you know, the big boys in the Illuminati do that all the time. There's always a war going on between the Bush faction of the Illuminati and the, you know, like the Japanese faction and the Bush group have been, you know, at each other's throats for decades. I've mentioned that in another talk. And, you know, Bush isn't liked. The Bush faction of the Illuminati is not liked by a lot of people, including other, you know, players in the Illuminati. And so they have enemies, and they're always jockeying for power, or they're stealing stolen money from each other. I mean, these are criminals. They're a den of thieves, and they don't behave with anything that you can call integrity. So my guess is that this guy angered these people because he was insulting to them, and they decided to go after him. And it's kind of a power trip, you know. Oh, you think you can talk to us like that because you're in the army and you're associated with the Pentagon? Watch what we can do to you. I have the feeling that's exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
As the man at the beginning of the talk there, Steele, said in his statement, which is something that I recognize again and again, these guys aren't necessarily rocket scientists. We give them too much credit for being really clever. No. In some cases, they are careful, to be sure, when a lot's at stake, like 9/11, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot at stake, so they had to be careful to be sure that it all went off, but, you know, that it was, you know, hush, hush, et cetera, et cetera. But in a lot of other operations, they're sloppy. They're incompetent. They're stupid. And this shows up again and again and again because, after all, who does this type of work? People who are usually sharp, while they, you know, they could be on the evil side of the equation, usually don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Criminals, by and large, ask any cop. You know, street criminals, by and large, are rather stupid. That's why they're doing street crime, because they're stupid. And I feel the same goes with these people. They just got a lot of power. They got a lot of toys at their command.
Yes, and when they're struggling over the same issue,
yeah,
they're like rats in a sack, biting each other.
Exactly. That's the way I see it, too.
Yeah. Now, this lieutenant colonel, or former lieutenant colonel, describes a week after he bought a bicycle that the odometer on the bike read 33,000 miles, okay?
Right.
That's over 1 1/3 times around the Earth at the equator.
Right.
In a
so
week.
We should say it's not a mechanical, but rather it's a computer-driven odometer setup. So that's an important clue.
And then in another week, 77,000 miles?
Right. So, unless I'm stealing your thunder from you.
No, but I was going to compare that to the Toyota scandal that's currently going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Well, the inference, though, from him reporting that is that when he's riding the bike, these agents are still hitting him with this radiation. It's causing that the radiation, the computer-controlled odometer device is reacting to the energy from the radiation, and that's why it's accelerating, right?
Yeah.
But I just want to make it clear. So that's telling him that how much he's being hit, you know, even when he's on his bike. But it's also an interesting clue. One should look into the circuitry of that, because obviously it's a detector, you see?
Yes.
And this could be very useful to people who are on the receiving end of this, because in the few remaining minutes we have on this story, I'm just going to broach some general ideas on how to try to shield from this energy. Mm-hmm. And many civilians, like the lady I was talking about last week, Yasmin, hasn't got a clue about how to shield yourself from this energy. So there are many people who are being hit with this stuff, and they should know that, and I'm not an expert at this at all, so.
Now, before you go into that, and where this hour is flying by, also, before you go into that, he mentions implants, or you mentioned implants, and for the sake of those that don't know if they have implants, of course, this is usually done in some manner where one is unconscious. However, in the case of Don Harkins, Don recalls being struck with a sharp, stinging object that he deduced must have been fired through a rifle, and it was located in his back a couple of months before he passed away. Now, he wasn't experiencing health problems at that time, but it was after he was bombarded. There's no doubt that he was irradiated by technology. You know, when you compare this to what happened on 9/11, it makes 9/11 a lot more plausible, doesn't it? These technologies exist.
This is one of the, conundrums that people who are more aware of what's going on than the general populace is that the technology available to these people is so far ahead of the civilian sector that the civilian world simply doesn't know about these technology.
Yeah.
It's not 40 or 50 years ahead, it's thousands of years ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And they have abilities which people just don't understand. They have real-time ability in stuff that only might seem like science fiction. Time travel, space travel. This is technology they've had for decades.
Yeah.
And they use it.
Yes, and many in the military and those that have resigned their positions in the military constantly repeat this phrase that, for every year of technology that the general populace has, there's an advancement of the secret technologies in leaps and bounds, let's say in 50-year increments. So in 10 years, their technology is at 500 years ahead of the
It's a logarithmic function, right?
Yes, exactly. So I didn't mean to steal your thunder or misdirect you. You know, this issue of implants is part of the ability to track these people and harass them with different technology.
Yes, I'll mention something that I found out around 2004 with Don Croft and his wife. He had told me about this in conversations, but Carol Croft herself had been hit with a very, very small implant. And they have the capabilities to, now you mentioned the rifle, but actually they're using a specially designed cell phone can shoot these implants. They have a type of what looks like sunglasses or eyeglasses you wear, and the agent just puts his hand up to a little trigger that's on the frame and can fire. They're using probably pneumatic type of propellants. Mm. But these things are so small that they can hit the skin, and once they hit the skin, they can be absorbed into the body, and you've just been implanted. And Millions of people in this country have implants in them because these agents have been busy doing this. Where if they can get at the skin, then, you know, young girls are, you know, walking through malls all summer long, you know, with midriff showing. They're being shot with implants because their goal is to implant every human being on this planet. So, yes, this technology is there, and it's not science fiction. It's absolutely real. So, yeah, we all have implants. I mean, people in the know will tell you that when the subject of implants comes up, certainly anyone who does what I do or what you do, we have implants. Even though you might not have no conscious memory of people coming to visit you, implant you, trust me, you have implants. And if you're driving a car, the car has tracking devices, implants on it too. That's been well known to me for quite a while now, so I have no doubts about that. You can discuss, now, all implants are not the same. Current generation of implants are far more sophisticated than they were, let's say, 15 or 20 years ago, when the implant itself was usually recognizable. Often it had a metallic component to it. It would show up in x-rays. But not today. Today it is much more advanced and sophisticated, though, that they're far smaller and they don't show up in x-rays. And many implants are made of protein. So naturally it's not going to show up in the implant because you're made of protein. And in some cases, implants don't even have to be in the physical third dimension. There's such a thing called etheric implants,
mm-hmm.
thought implants, which can be just as effective as a physical implant, but they're in a higher dimension. But you're carrying it. You're right. You're walking around with it, and they function as well as three-dimensional implants do. So there's ways to remove those as well, though, and there's ways to detect where some implants are. I can't say we can detect them all, but there are some devices. I won't go into it in this show because we don't have the time. But there are ways to do this, and there are ways to shield from electromagnetic assault. Now, there are companies that specialize in this. There are websites that specialize in EMF protection. And a lot of this energy is of the, let's say, standard electromagnetic type of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is not. Some of it is very high tech, in which case conventional shielding doesn't work very well, or in some cases, not at all. But most people are being assaulted by more conventional EMF radiation. So they can look into the notion of shielding. It's troublesome. You gotta, you know, spend some money and you gotta spend some time. But if you're victimized by this stuff, it is possible to shield. So don't think, you know, you can't do anything about it. You can.
Mm-hmm. Now, dare I say that it's no accident that the government mandated that all the television broadcasting stations across the United States convert to high-definition digital transmission.
Yes, of course. We've talked about this in other shows. I don't watch high-definition TV. I don't have the signal coming into my house because there's a hidden agenda here of electronic mind control. Dr. Truat bought this story out it was December of 2008, I believe,
mm-hmm.
is when he came out with the story. It's called The Sound of Silence.
Yes.
And it's an army-developed, military-developed technology, and they do... you know, people aren't necessarily feeling the effects of this technology at this point, but it is being, let's say, you're being set up for this.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I should mention, the last thing, because I know you probably want to close the show now. I haven't mentioned this before in other shows, but this is the time to bring it up. They are building in major cities around the world, Tokyo, Paris, New York, what they erected in Dublin, Ireland, a few years ago. In Dublin, they had this huge, what's called the needle, or actually they call it the spire, the Dublin Spire. And it's a huge cylinder that tapers to a point that goes very high up. It's right in the heart of Dublin there in a very quaint part of town. The purpose of these towers is to effect region-wide electronic mind control. The people who are behind it don't quite explain in full detail exactly what is all this for, because we have plenty of cell phone capabilities with, you know, conventional cell phone towers, mobile phone towers, but they're sort of told, well, this is kind of, you know, we're going to have better communication. They're building one of these towers in Tokyo now, also in France. They proposed, I saw this on the news 3 or 4 years ago. They're proposing a new edifice. I don't know if they started construction on it, to replace the Twin Towers. And the upper third of this edifice, of this new construction, I don't know what they're going to call it. I can't remember, but I saw one of these huge electromagnetic broadcasting towers they're going to put up there. This is very dangerous. This story needs to be exposed. I put up the Dublin Spire story maybe 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, 2004, 2005. They had just completed it, and I had a fellow there, an Irishman, who was sensitive to this energy, psychically tuned up guy, and he went down there, and because the people who are doing this could pick up his vibes, they absolutely zapped him, because his purpose was to go there and take pictures for me, and we were going to, you know, try to see if he can get pictures of the inside of the structure, etc. They knew what he was up to, because they could pick up his vibes, because they have a lot of psychics and black magicians, etc., on the lookout for people on, let's say, with psychic ability who are working on our side of the fence. They knew what he was up to, so they were zapping him. They're absolutely frying the guy, and he had to leave. He just had to hightail it out of there because he was being hit heavy with micro, and he was being targeted. So he was in a crowd of people that the people around him weren't feeling this energy, but he was. I mean, the guy was literally vibrating. So this is a very serious concern that, you know, we need to talk about more in the future, because these powers got to come down, because there's a very dark agenda connected with these.
I've heard and I lend some credibility to this, that they're placing antennas inside churches, like church steeples and up in the bell towers and such places, because no one would suspect that they're beaming these technologies from those locations. And just to add to your comment about what they might be renaming the new Twin Towers, I submit a name: Larry's Pancake House, number 1 and 2.
that may be it. The house of Larry's Pancake, right? Just one final point of why we're talking on this subject. I believe if anyone who lives in, you know, Los Angeles or has gone to LAX Airport sees these huge round cylinder structures. It looks like the outside has probably what looks like a green fiberglass paneling of sorts. They're cylinder in shape. They're very large, and they're, anytime you see a television, you know, shot of LAX Airport, they usually show this scene where you see these large cylinders in a very wide circle. Mm-hmm. At the entrance, and then as you're approaching Century Boulevard, I think it's called, this avenue that you leads into LAX Airport, as you get to the last 3 or 4 blocks before the airport, you'll find these very large cylinder-shaped structures in the Esplanade. I'm convinced those are loaded with microwave-type antennas and equipment, and that can probably do incredible things if they turned it on full blast. For instance, they have the technology to stop all vehicular traffic. Any car that has a computer in it, for instance, a microwave signal can be applied. Your computer will overload. The car will shut down. And I'm sure that equipment, since it's so large, can do far more than that. They're using it for, I don't know, you know, I don't know the details of what it's used for, but I'm quite certain there's electronic equipment in there designed to disable. And judging from the size of it, it has to have tremendous capabilities.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ken, we got to close out the show. We're out of time. And I want to thank you for your information. Give out your web address one more time, and certainly we'll pick up this conversation the next time you appear in the month of April on Evident Footprints.
Okay, thanks, Don. The website is educate-yourself.org. Educate-yourself.org. No other URL will work. If there's no hyphen there, you won't get to my website. Plenty of people have taken the name, this name, which I frankly originated, and have created websites with every possible variation. And many of them have health type information on it, and they're trying to pretend they're me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only URL that will work.
Yes, yes. Well, and one of those websites is not directlightproductions.com, I want to add. So I do post your articles. I want to thank you for being on tonight's show and commend your great research and your willingness to help these victims bring their stories to the light where they can be exposed for what they are. And I look forward to our next visit with you. We're going to be publishing that within the next 12 hours or so. So I look forward to that and wish you a great evening.
Thanks, Don. Same here.
Folks, that about wraps it up for tonight. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and tonight's special guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, for broadcasting and rebroadcasting Evident Footprints, either live or on archive. And I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Drew Malone Raines III and music composer, producer of the new video, The Great Reneger, and the song, I should say, Mr. Mike Fisher. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.